Now, since the 2018 federal budget was released last week, many Australians have been left wondering how they're going to benefit from the government and the opposition's opposite plans for spending Australia's money. Now, as part of a $54.4 million package, $18.2 million is set to go towards domestic violence services. Now, that's good, but is it enough? Feminist insider Megan King from the YWCA joins us in the studio now. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Can you start off by telling us the known statistics of how many people are currently victims of domestic violence?
Oh, that's a bit of a complicated statistic, so I won't give you exacts. It really depends on age. It depends on what kind of women you're talking about. Are you talking about people who are female identifying? Are they trans women? So that does get a little bit complicated. Also gets complicated when you're starting to talk about what are reported statistics and what are the real statistics. So generally it's one in five women will be affected by domestic violence. However, that changes very drastically when you're looking at different types of women.
Well, they did have, there was reports a month or so ago about increasing numbers of police reports of domestic violence, but that not necessarily meaning that domestic violence is going up, but just more that people are aware and are willing to report.
Absolutely. I think we're... to not reflect too much on Me Too, but it's certainly a moment where women are discussing domestic violence a bit more and they feel more comfortable coming forward with their accusations. So we're seeing an increased reporting, but what we know is that women often who experience domestic and family violence just generally don't come forward. Just within my own peer group, I would say that none of my female friends who've experienced domestic violence have reported it to the police. They've either left the relationship eventually and tried to put it behind them. So that's particularly problematic because it means we're not actually seeing the exact numbers of people who are affected by this kind of gendered violence. And it also makes it really difficult to target and put funding into new programs, to crisis support, to prevention, because we're seeing these huge numbers of people coming through crisis centres and it can often be quite hard to predict.
Now, so that brings us to back to the topic. How do you think this $18.2 million is going to help? Do you think it's enough?
I think it can be a very difficult conversation to have. It's never enough, which seems to be a problem that we find in most areas of society. It's good to see that there's going to be a little bit more funding towards domestic violence response training. That's going to be about $6.7 million. And there's going to be $11.5 million putting towards the 1-800-RESPECT helpline and referral information service. So that's great to see, but we're still not seeing a lot in terms of prevention. The domestic violence response training is also focusing only on domestic violence and it's not actually focusing on prevention. And those crisis centres are grossly underfunded to begin with. So when we're seeing this kind of funding come through, it's great. We'll take it no matter in what form it comes in. However, it always needs to be more and it needs to be spread out better in a way that's going to target gendered violence before it begins so that we're not having to continuously fund crisis centres as a last resort for women. Ideally, we'd like to stop that before they ever get to a point of experiencing that kind of violence.
Absolutely. Now, one of the ways the state works on its prevention is better than cure kind of method, you know, through all sort of health crises, is advertising campaigns. Yeah. And, you know, I remember one when I was growing up that was Violence Against Women Australia Says No. That was a really big, prominent one. Do you think it's time for that kind of thing? Does more money need to go to just blanketing everything we can with don't do this?
Look, I think it's important, particularly at the YWCA, we ran a campaign called Rise Above the Pack, which you might have seen around Adelaide. We had the Law Mayor, we had Jay Weatherall feature in that campaign, and that was about men taking a stand against violence against women. It was rising above the pack, and it was related to bystander intervention training. So when you see something acting, if it's safe for you, of course, and intervening to make sure that person is all right, right and that situation doesn't escalate. So that was obviously really important. We did that a couple of years ago now. So while those campaigns are very important and they serve their purpose, what we're also seeing is that society isn't changing. We're not seeing a dramatic decrease in gendered violence. It's not going down. Women are still facing the same kind of systematic and structural oppression that they were before. The patriarchy is alive and well. And those kind of those attitudes towards women that fuel the way that people interpret women in terms of their ability to fight back, or as though they are property that you can handle in a way that it doesn't obviously measure up to that person's consent or what's safe for them. What we're seeing there is a real structural problem. So education is great, but I don't know about the general population out there, but I'd say most people know that violence against women is unacceptable. You're told at every point in society, but it keeps happening. And not to mention that when we do normally get into those cases, it's not criminalised in a way, like the consequences for committing domestic violence are not as great as really they should be. And a lot of people who perpetrate domestic violence get away with it as well, both from a lack of reporting, because women don't feel safe coming forward, and also our criminal justice system. So there needs to be a huge overhaul in everything we're doing when we're looking in criminal systems, education, particularly of boys and men, because they are the majority perpetrators of domestic violence, not completely, but they're the majority.
I'm speaking with our feminist insider, Megan King. Now, we've only got a few minutes before we go to the news. I want to talk about some of the methods for that prevention strategy, and how is it that you think we can best move forward and ensure, as you did say, and I think that was a really good point about how society hasn't quite changed despite those advertising campaigns. Maybe it takes a bit more time and something bigger before that happens. So what do you think are the best methods to bring forward prevention?
I think it's all about education and having consequences for behaviour. We haven't seen those figures changing. We haven't seen domestic violence eradicated from society because we haven't seen the way people view women and their role in society change. We've had a lot of progress as women within our society. However, that progress doesn't go far enough. We might be in the workplaces, but we're still experiencing sexual harassment. We're not safe on our own streets, which we're paying taxes for. All these things come to a culmination of a point that if women were respected in society the way that we're advocating that they should be, then there wouldn't be this interwoven idea that somehow they are worth less, that they are not to be treated the same way, that it's acceptable to commit violence against them. So really it comes back to that education of equity and equality, showing people in their younger years, especially at school, changing the language with which we speak about women and men and their place in society, rather than saying, he hit you because he liked you, which was something that I grew up with, the boy punched you. Yeah, it does sound absurd when you kind of talk about it out of context, but I still see it at family barbecues and things like that, be like, do you have a crush at school, and he poked you in the arm because he liked you. Well, no, he didn't. Like, he thinks he did, but we can train that out of people so that they're not seeing that kind of that physical touch and that kind of aggression early on. So it's really about changing those patterns of behaviour. It's about changing language. It's about changing the way we view women. But especially it's really about that education, and also about making sure that when we do grow up to be adults, or when we're going through our schooling and university systems, that there's consequences for behaviour that impacts negatively against women rather than letting it slide. It's kind of going back to that bystander awareness training. When somebody's saying something that could be interpreted in a patriarchal way, you standing up and saying, hey, actually, I don't think that's an appropriate thing to say. Maybe we should look at why you're phrasing it in that way and have a bit of a conversation.
Well, there's certainly a lot that still needs to be done Hopefully we can keep working towards some good change. So it's 8 o'clock, so we're going to head over to the news. Megan, thanks very much for joining us here on Breakfast.
No worries. Thank you.